Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
the seventh episode, I think, of The Way of Chang Zhu. I'm reading through this, page 127, The Wood Carver. Kei Hing, the master carver, made a bell stand of precious wood when it's finished. I do like the idea of the sacred wood and discarded wood being one is beautiful, one's not, but they've all come from the same tree. All who saw it were astounded. They said it must be the work of spirits. The Prince Lu said to the master carver, "What's your secret, Keeling? I bet it's going to be Tao." Keeling replied, "I'm only a workman. I have no secret. There is only this. When I began to think about the work you commanded, I guarded my spirit. I did not expend it on trifles that were not to the point. I fasted in order to set my heart at rest. For 3 days of fasting, I had forgotten gain and success. After 5 days, I had forgotten praise and criticism. After 7 days, I had forgotten my body with all its limbs." Dear, fasting seems to be the story. "By this time, all thought of your highness and the court had faded away. All that might distract me from my work had vanished. I was collected in a single thought of the bell stand. Then I went to the forest to see the trees in their own natural state. When the right tree appeared before my eye, the bell stand also appeared in it clearly beyond doubt, and all I had to do was put forth my hand and begin. And if I had not met this particular tree, then there would have been no bell to stand at all. What happened? My own collected thought encountered a hidden potential of wood. From this life encounter came the work, which you ascribe to the spirits." Beautiful. "When the shoe fits, Chu Yu, the draftsman, could draw perfect circles freehand, more perfect circles freehand than with a compass. His fingers brought spontaneous forms from nowhere. His mind was meanwhile free, without concern with what he was doing. No application was needed. His mind was perfectly simple. He knew no obstacle. So when the shoe fits, the foot is forgotten. When the belt fits, the belly is forgotten. When the heart is right, for and against is forgotten. No drives, no compulsions, no needs, no attractions." There's going to be more to this, is it? Oh, yes, there is. "Then your affairs are under control. So you are a free man. Easy is right, begin right, and you are easy. Continue easy, and you are right. Right, the right way, go easy, is to forget the right way, and forget that is going is easy." I don't know. That's a bit bizarre to me. "The empty boat. He who rules men's lives in confusion, he who is ruled by men lives in sorrow." Okay, "he who rules men lives in confusion. Yao, therefore, desired neither to influence others nor to be influenced by them. The way to get clear of confusion and free from sorrow is to live the Tao in the land of the great void. If a man is crossing a river and an empty boat collides with his own skiff, even though he is a bad-tempered man, he will not become very angry. But if he sees a man in the boat, he will shout at him to steer clear. And if the shout is not heard, he will shout again, and yet again, and begin cursing, and all because there is somebody in the boat. Yet if the boat is empty, he would not be shouting, he is not angry." It's a bit bizarre. "If you can empty your boat, crossing the river of the world, no one will oppose you, no one will seek to harm you." Well, that's autism plus. "A straight tree is the first to be cut down. The spring of clear water is the first to be drained dry. If you wish to improve your wisdom and shame the ignorant to cultivate your character and outshine others, a light will shine around you. And if you had swallowed the sun and the moon, you will not avoid calamity." A wise man said, quote, "He who is content with himself has done a worthless work. Achievement is the beginning of failure. Fame is the beginning of disgrace. He who can free himself of achievement and from fame descend be lost amid the masses of men, he will flow like Tao unseen. He will go about his life itself, with no name, no home, simple as he, without distinction. To all appearance he is a fool. He steps, leave no trace. He has no power. He achieves nothing. He has no reputation. Since he judges no one, no one judges him. Such is a perfect man. His boat is empty. Now, I really want to go for the empty boat. That's me. The flight of Lin Hu. Lin Hu of Kai took flight. Pursued by enemies, he threw away precious jade, symbol of rank, and took his infant child on his back. Why did he take the child and leave the jade, which is worth a small fortune, whereas the child, if sold, would bring him a paltry sum? Liu Yusu said, "My bond with jade symbol and with my office was the bond of self-interest. The bond with my child was a bond of Tao. Where self-interest is the bond, friendship is dissolved. When calamity comes, where Tao is the bond, friendship is made perfect by calamity. The friendship of wise men is tasteless as water. The friendship of fools is as sweet as wine. But the tastelessness of the wise brings true affection and savours the fuel. And the savours of the fool's company ends in hatred." When knowledge went north. Knowledge wandered north, looking for Tao, over the dark sea, up the invisible mountain. There on the mountain he met Non-doing and the speechless one. He inquired, "Please inform me, sir, by what system of thought and what technique of meditation can I apprehend Tao? By what renunciation or what solitary retirement may I rest in Tao? Where must I start? What road must I follow to reach Tao?" Such were the three questions. Non-doing, the speechless one, made no reply. Not only that, he did not even know how to reply. The knowledge swung south to the bright sea and climbed the luminous mountain called Doubt's End. He met there, act on impulse, inspired prophet, and asked the same questions. "Ah," cried the inspired one, "I have the answers and I'll reveal them." Just as he was about to tell everything, he got all he had in mind. Knowledge got no reply. So knowledge went at last to the palace of Emperor Li Ti, and asked the questions of T. T replied, To exercise no thought and to follow no way of meditation is the first step towards understanding Tao. To dwell nowhere and rest in nothing is the first step towards resting in Tao. To start from nowhere." This, from a scientist's point of view, this is just real sort of aggravating, I suppose. And follow no road is the first step towards attaining Tao. Knowledge replied, "You know this, and now I know it, but the other two, they did not know it, and what about that? Who is right?" Li replied, "Only non-doing, the speechless one, was perfectly right. He did not know, act on impulse, inspired prophet, and he seemed right, because he had forgotten. For us, we come from nowhere being near right, since we have the answers. For he who knows does not speak. He who speaks does not know. And the wise man gives instructions without the use of speech." This story got back to act on impulse, who agreed with T's way of putting it. It is not reported that non-doing ever heard the matter or made any comment. Well, that's a bit bizarre to me. The importance of being toothless. Nye Chor had no teeth, came up to Pai and asked for a lesson in Tao. Maybe he would bite on that. Haha, that's a bit of a joke. So Pai began, "First gain control of the body, then its organs, then control the mind, attain one-pointedness, then the harmony of the heavens will come down and dwell in you. You will be radiant with life, the rest, and you will rest in Tao. You will have a simple look on a newborn calf, O lucky you. You will not even know the cause of your state." What is toothlessness got to do with it? Oh, he goes on. But long before Pai had reached his point of his sermon, the toothless one had fallen asleep. His mind could not bite on the meat of this doctrine. But Pai was satisfied. He wandered away seeing The body is dry, like old leg of bone. The mind is dead, as dead ashes. The knowledge is solid, and his wisdom is true. In deep dark night, he wanders free, without aim, without design. Who can bear this toothless man? Well, there you go. I don't understand what the toothless man meant. Master Chung, where is Dao? Master Chung Ko asked Chung. Chung is Chengzu. Chung is this. Show me where Tao was found. Chengzu replied, there is nowhere it is to be found. The form insisted, show me at least some different place where Tao was found. Is it in the ant? Said Chung. Is it in some lesser being? Is it in the weeds? Can you go further down the scale of things? Is it a piece of tile? Further. Is it in this turd? I like it. At this, Chung Tu had nothing more to say. But Chung Tu, none of your questions are to the point. They are like questions of inspector in the market, testing the weight of pigs, but prodding them in the thinnest part. Why look for Tao by going down the scale of beam, as if that was what we call least? Is it in a piece of turd? Had less of Tao. Tao is great in all things, complete in all, universal in all, whole in all. These three aspects are distinct, but the reality is one. Therefore, come to me to the palace of nowhere, where all the many things are one. There, at last, we might speak of what has no limitation, has no end. Come with me to the land of non-doing. What shall we say there? That Tao is simplicity, stillness, indifference, and purity, harmony, and ease. All these names leave me indifferent, for the distinctions have disappeared. My will is aimless there. If it is nowhere, how should I be aware of it? If it goes and returns, I know not. You know, this is a mosquito. It's absolutely... Sorry. God, it's absolutely gorged in blood. I don't know why it's bothering with me. Stupid thing. Okay. Their thusness cannot be delimited by things. Thusness cannot be... So, when we speak of limits, we remain confined to limited things. To limit of unlimited is called fullness. The limitness of the limited is called emptiness. Tao is source of both, but itself is neither fullness or emptiness. Tao produces both renewal and decay, but is neither renewal or decay. It causes being and non-being, but is neither being nor non-being. Tao assembles and it destroys, but is neither totalitary or void. So I think that would be enough to make my brain implode, as in terms of what the heck? Starlight and non-being. Starlight asked non-being, Master, are you or are you not? Since he received no answer whatsoever, Starlight set himself to watch for non-being. He waited to see if non-being would put in an appearance. He kept his gaze fixed on the deep void, hoping to catch a glimpse of non-being. All day he looked, he saw nothing. He listened, he heard nothing. He reached out to gasp and grasp nothing. Starlight explained, this is it. Quote, this is the furthest yet. Who can reach it? I can comprehend the absence of being, but who can comprehend the absence of nothing? Now, on top of all of this, non-being is, who can comprehend it? Well, yeah. In a certain sense, universe being a certain size and the speed of light being that. Gee, it's pretty amazing, because I can think bigger than the universe and all things like that. Ken Chang Chu. Master Ken Sang Chu, a disciple of Lao Tzu, became famous for his wisdom, and the people of Wei Lei began to venerate him as a sage. He avoided their homage and refused their gifts. He kept himself hidden and would not let them come to see him. His disciples demonstrated to him and declared that since the time of Yoel and Shun, it had been a tradition for wise men to accept veneration and thus exercise a good influence. Master King replied, quote, and I quote, "Come here, my children, listen to this. If a beast be enough to swallow a wagon, should leave the mountain forest, it will not escape the hunter's trap. If a fish be enough to swallow a boat, let itself be stranded on the outgoing tide, then even the ants will destroy it. So a bird flies high, beasts remain in trackless solitudes. Keep out of sight, the fishes and turtles go deep down." Well, great advice if you're going to be prey. Oh my God, it goes on. Down to the very bottom, the man who has some respect for his person keeps his carcass out of sight, hides himself as perfectly as he can. As for Yao and Shun, why praise such kings? What good did their mortality do? They knocked a hole in the wall and let it fill up with brambles. They numbered their hairs on your head before combing them. They counted out each grain of rice before cooking their dinner. And what good did they do to the world with their scrupulous distinctions? If the virtuous are honored, the world will be filled with envy. If the smart are rewarded, the world will be filled with thieves. You cannot make men good or honest by praising and virtue and knowledge. Since the day of pious Yu and virtuous Shun, everyone has been trying to get rich. A son will kill his father for money, a minister will murder his sovereign to satisfy his ambition. In broad daylight they can rob each other, at midnight they break down walls. The root of all this is planted in the time of Yao Shun. The branches will grow a thousand ages from now, men will be eating and one another raw. Wow, there you go. Cheng's disciple. A disciple complained to Cheng, "The eyes of all men seem to be alike. I detect no difference in them. Yet some men are blind, their eyes do not see. The ears of all men seem alike. I detect no difference in them. Yet some men are deaf, their ears do not hear. The minds of all men have the same nature. I detect no difference in them. But the mad cannot make another man's mind their own. Here I am, apparently like other disciples, but there is a difference. They get your meaning and put it into practice. I cannot. You tell me, hold your being secure and quiet, keep your life collected in its own centre, down, do not allow your thoughts to be disturbed. But however hard I try, Tao is the only word I hear. It does not ring any bells inside." King Sang replied, quote, "I have nothing more to say. Bantams do not hatch goose eggs, though the fowl of Liu Kang. It's not so much the difference of nature as a difference of capacity. My capacity is too slight to transform you. Why not go south and see Lao Tzu?" The disciple got some supplies, travelled 7 days and seven nights alone, and then came to Lao Tzu. Lao Tzu asked, "Do you come from a king?" "Yes," replied the student. "Who are all the people you have brought with you?" The disciple whirled around to look. "Nobody there." "Panic." Lu said, "Don't you understand?" The disciple hung his head in confusion, then sighs, "Alas, I have forgotten my answer." More confusion. "I have also forgotten my question." I said, "What are you trying to say?" The disciple, "When I don't know, people treat me like a fool. When I do know, the knowledge gets me into trouble. Then I fail to do good, I hurt others. When I do good, I hurt myself. When I avoid my duty, I am remiss. But if I do it, I am ruined. How can I get out of this contradictions? That is what I've come to ask you." Lao Tzu replied, "A moment ago, I looked into your eyes. I saw you were hemmed in by contradictions. Your words confirm this. You are scared to death, like a child who has lost its father and mother. You are trying to sound the middle of the ocean with a 6-foot pole. You've got lost, and you're trying to find your way back. Your own true self, you find nothing but illegible signposts pointing in all directions. I pity you." The disciple asked, for admittance, took a cell and there meditate, trying to cultivate qualities he thought desirable and get rid of others that she disliked. 10 days of that despair. Miserable, said Lau, all blocked up, tied knots, try to get... This is a bit like... that Star Wars character. She was Miss P. Jedi. Yoda. All tied up in knots. If your obstructions are on the outside, do not attempt to grasp them one by one and thrust them away. Impossible. Learn to ignore them. If they are within yourself, you cannot destroy them piecemeal, but you can refuse to let them take effect. If they are both inside and outside you, this is pretty amazing. Do not try to hold on to Tao. Just hope that Tao will keep hold of you. The disciple groaned. When a farmer gets sick, the other farmers come to see him. If he can at least tell them what is the matter, his sickness is not bad. But for me, in my search of Tao, I'm like a sick man who takes medicine and it makes him 10 times worse. Just tell me the first elements, I will be satisfied. Lao Tzu replied, can you embrace the one and not lose it? Can you foretell good things and bad without the tortoise shell or straws? Can you rest where there is rest? Do you know when to stop? Can you mind your own business without cares, without desire and reports, or of how others are progressing? Can you stand on your own feet? Can you duck? Can you be like an infant that cries all day without getting a sore throat, or clenches his fist all day without getting sore hands, or gazes all day without eye strain? Do you want the first elements? The infant has them. Free from care, unaware of itself, he acts without reflection. Stays where he's put and does not know why. Does not figure things out. He just goes along with them. It is part of the current of these, the first element. The disciple asks, is this perfection? And Lao replied, not all. It's only the beginning. This melts the ice. This enables you to unlearn. I suppose like this unlearning seems a major thing. So you can be led by Tao. Be a child of Tao. If you persist in trying to attain what is never attained, and it is a Tao gift, if you persist in making efforts to obtain whatever it cannot get, if you persist in reasoning about what cannot be understood, you will be destroyed by the very thing you seek. Now, when you stop to know when you can get no further by your own action, this is the right beginning. So I just want to think this, for me, a little bit of this rehabilitation stuff, having your brain blown apart with her. A new beginning for me. It's like I'm not seeking the optimal situation. I'm seeking a methodology of optimization. The Tao of the Spirit. When the Spirit has an impregnable Tao, which no danger can disturb, as long as the Tao is guarded by an invisible protector who acts unconsciously and whose actions go astray when they become deliberate, reflexive and intentional. The unconsciousness and entire serenity of Tao are disturbed by an effort at self-consciousness demonstration. Such demonstrations are lies. When one displays himself in this unambiguous way, the world outside storms in and imprisons him. He is no longer protected by the serenity of Tao, the Tao of Spirit. Each new act is a new failure. If his act is done in public, in broad daylight, he will be punished by men. If they are done in private and in secret, they will be punished by spirits. Let one understand the meaning of serenity, a guard against display. He will be at peace with the men and spirits and will act rightly unseen in his own solitude in a Tao of Spirit. Okay, I think this is the last, and I'll be able to get to the end of this book in the next reading. Another podcast, another story,
comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.